The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
FM Channel 80, the golden team, or future champs. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. First, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. We are expecting Justin Herbert in about, 9 minutes, Raj? Until then, before we talk to an elite talent in the NFL already, I'll say, I'm a huge Justin Herbert guy. Before we do that, we got to get into this NBA offseason. First of all, let's start with the Lakers. I know people in L.A. are very excited. You got all these guys on minimum deals coming out of the woodworks. What would you expect on a LeBron team when they were able to turn, it's not exactly flotsam and jetsam, but spare parts into Russell Westbrook, and they have Anthony Davis, but they had to make a little deal with the devil here in order to get these players who can still play on less expensive, maybe the market deals, the kind because they need shooting. Well, you ain't going to find a lot of 3-and-D guys, like legit 3-and-D guys, on vet minimum deals and stuff like that. So they sacrificed defense for offense. They brought in some shooters. They brought in some guys who can score, but they sacrificed some defense, seems to me. Obviously, Carmelo Anthony is the big name, but Kendrick Nunn and Malik Monk and Trevor Ariza and, you know, listen, like, Ellington's probably the best shooter in their starting lineup. Dwight Howard's back. You know, look, they're old. I don't think that that is the number one problem, their age. I think the number one problem is that they, like, when you put three guys together like LeBron, AD, and Westbrook, that first season they're together, if there's another big three in the league, and there is in Brooklyn, that other team has had time to get the details right. They already have Blake Griffin. They already have some guys who can help them. The Lakers are going to figure out this season who among these guys can help them, and then they'll have to further tweak. Carmelo with the big deal, and by the way, the 3-year, $32 million extension for Talen Horton-Tucker. Talen Horton-Tucker is going to be a good player. I think everyone recognized that, and he opened eyes in summer league last year. But he's not a shooter. You know, they need shooting. They got it. They got aging shooting, defensively flawed aging shooting, to go with AD and Westbrook and LeBron. Did they get better or just older? Like, you know, I give them a real good grade for what they had to work with, especially since Chris Paul opted out of his one-year deal and into a long-term extension with Phoenix. I think Chris Paul would have been a better fit, although physically you don't know if he'll hold up. Whatever you want to say about Westbrook, every year we're like, well, he's finally, you know, age might be catching up with him, and it's only because he has new teammates. I don't expect him to be great with the Lakers first half, but second half, once Westbrook figures it out, look out. Every year, same thing, every year. He's playing with Paul George, he's playing with this one, he's playing with that one, James Harden, whoever it is he's playing with. Bradley Beal, first half you're like, oh, this might, Westbrook's not the same. Second half, you're like, I take it back. Dude is an animal. I think the same thing will happen here. But the Lakers needed shooting. They went out and got it. They sacrificed defense in the process. What I don't understand, maybe someone can explain this one to me. Why do you not match an offer for Caruso and have him as a tradable asset going forward? What would that have really stopped them from doing? When you have an asset in the NBA and you control bird rights, like you can grandfather in their contract and go through the cap, that is a valuable commodity if you're willing to pay the luxury tax, right? And the Lakers obviously always have been. That's a valuable commodity. You just let that walk out the door. You don't get compensated for it. That's odd to me. Here's Kendrick Perkins, ESPN NBA analyst, on the jump on the Lakers' moves.
What Rob Pelinka did yesterday, all he did, Rachel, was set the temperature. He set the temperature by going sign Trevor Ariza, Kent Bazemore, Wayne Ellington, and all of those guys. And now all of a sudden he had the cake ready to bake, and he went put it in the oven by sealing the deal and going to get Carmelo Anthony. The mission is complete, along with Dwight Howard. Book it. The Lakers are on their track, back on track.
Well, I agree with that. They did as well as they could have done under the circumstances. And if I push come to shove, I have to pick someone to get out of the West. I'm taking the Lakers. Carmelo needs the ball. Like, what we saw is when teams tried to use him as a catch-and-shoot guy, that's not really him. And he's not a defender. He's not a 3-and-D guy. He's a guy who could lead a second unit scoring, right? But he needs the ball. He takes time with the ball, as does Westbrook, as does LeBron, as does AD. How does that all work out? This is not like the backcourt of Devin Booker and Chris Paul, where you're like, on paper, this really works. Now, I believe in talent. If you have a chance to add Russell Westbrook for a bunch of spare parts to LeBron and AD, get the talent, figure out the details after the fact. And Pelinka did a good job. Kendrick is right. He did a good job finding shooters who'd sign for what the Lakers could offer. Is that enough to push him over the Suns? I think it is. Denver? I think it is. Golden State? I think so. I thought Golden State was going to make a move with their surplus of draft picks and everything, and apparently they tried to and couldn't. They have a savvy front office. They couldn't. But they're still going to be good, and they have some young athletes on the team. People kind of sleep on Wiggins now. Actually, an above-average two-way player at the guard position, at the two or three. You put him with Steph and Clay and Dre, that's pretty good. But push come to shove, I take the Lakers right up until you get to the Nets. The difference between the Lakers and the Nets is, I want you to listen carefully to this construction, okay? Every one of the big three on the Nets is the best all-around scorer at their size in the history of the NBA. Tell me a guy, Kyrie's size or shorter, who's a better overall scorer, who can score from anywhere to the level that Kyrie can. Most skilled. Also get his own shot the same way. Same thing with Harden. Harden's not 6'6". Harden's 6'6". That's Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant. But 6'5"? Yeah, tell me a guy 6'5 or under, better scorer overall ever than Harden. Same thing with Kevin Durant. Show me a 6'11 guy who could score like that from anywhere. So that fit is much easier than what the Lakers have tried to do here. And for that reason, I think the Nets are, if everyone's healthy, it's a big if on both sides, right? The Nets are still the favorites. Okay, that was Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Meantime, four-time All-Star guard Kemba Walker has agreed to a contract buyout with the Thunder, and upon clearing waivers, plans to sign with the Knicks, sources tell ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski. Wait, this signing hasn't already occurred? So it's a plan, huh? Kemba's on the Knicks, basically. It's a real good move for the Knicks. Kemba's an excellent player, a little mini Kyrie, and a great teammate and locker room guy and leader and all that, and he's from New York. Like, it's a great fit with the Knicks, but, and Kendrick Perkins tweeted at me, I got to get Big Perk on this show to respond to this, but to him directly on the show, but he's like, oh, your hatred for Dolan still going? Because I said, here's the issue. It's not. Sometimes I'll hate on Dolan, I'll admit it. This is not me hating on Dolan. While Kemba's the right fit on the Knicks based on who's available, the Knicks are now locked in. And we got Perkins coming on the show tomorrow at 2:10 p.m. We got Justin Herbert in a minute and a half coming on today. The Knicks are now locked in for the foreseeable future to a team without enormous upside. And this is what oftentimes how their reboots fizzle. The Knicks clear out the front office. They bring in a front office with some promise and this and that. And at a certain point, they realize, oh, we're kind of blocked. And so they reward Julius Randle, right? Julius Randle's a really nice player, and he had a huge season. But in the playoffs, we saw he's not a number two option, probably even on a championship team. Derrick Rose is amazing, but this is capped right now in the second round for the Knicks. And the question is, are these guys assets that the league sees as stuff they're going to want to trade for if and when a superstar eventually says, I want to play for the Knicks? All right, I got to get to the Goodyear hotline right now, because on it is a guy whose rookie season was, I don't know, the best you've ever seen. Justin Herbert, ladies and gentlemen, your Los Angeles Chargers quarterback, NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year. Justin, welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having me.
It's going good now that we got you on this show. I got to tell you, your first year, like, you're making all this noise in college. I'm a Giants fan. Oh, I hope the Giants, you know, they're going to be terrible. They get Justin Herbert. Then all of a sudden, it's like there were a couple guys ahead of you, and you go third among quarterbacks in that draft. But I got to tell you, after that rookie season. You've realigned, I think, people's expectations of all the young quarterbacks in the NFL, and most have you on the very top. How do you feel about that?
Well, I appreciate that, and I think it's definitely a tough situation because it wasn't the year that we wanted to have last year. We lost some close games, some games that we felt like we were in and could have won, but that's the NFL, and so many of these teams are so close together in skill that it's really going to come down to two-minute drills and stuff like that, and we just couldn't do that early on in the year, and you know, I'm thankful for us kind of figuring that out late in the year and putting together a winning streak, so a lot of fun last year, but a lot more room to grow.
I mean, early in the season, though, Justin, talking to Justin Herbert here on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, early in the season, you were going toe-to-toe with guys like Patrick Mahomes, and when you just watched the game, no one would guess, if you didn't know anything about any of the players, that you were a rookie quarterback. You were going toe-to-toe with the best guys in the league and were just as good as they were. And yet, 8 of your 9 losses were by 10 points or fewer. What did you learn from that?
The first part that you mentioned, it was just so much fun. Going up against Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Patrick Mahomes, guys like that, you grow up watching them. And to go head-to-head with them and have a chance, an opportunity to learn from them, I don't think it gets much better than that. And then the second part, what you said, is those close games, it's a killer in the NFL, and you have to find a way to win. And we kind of did that late in the year, but if we could put that towards an entire year, I think we could be a pretty special team.
Now, Sam Acho was on First Take with me today, and we were debating whether you could be – I thought I was bold when I saw Madden had you ninth. Yes, ESPN had you ninth. I said, yeah, I can understand that, but with a bullet. I think Justin Herbert, by the end of this season, is a good chance. He's a top five quarterback. I thought I was being bold. Sam Acho comes out and says, top three. And I actually had to debate against it. I was like, well, I don't know how the Chargers are going to have to be really good to be top three. And he brings up Brandon Staley and the fact that he has this defensive background and how much better he believes the team will be. What's the transition been like to your new head coach?
Yeah, well, I really appreciate you guys having my back. That's awesome. But Coach Staley's awesome. And being able to play for him, and he even played quarterback for a little bit too. So he understands the game so well. And his defense, it's already given us fits in practice. And it's a game of cat and mouse. And he's such a smart guy, such a great coach. He builds great relationships with his players. And the guys are excited to play for him. And I know I am too.
I keep making a statement, and then I ask a question, and then you go back to the statement, which tells me I'm an idiot. I should just ask you the question that's in the statement, right? So let me go back and say, and ask you, what are your thoughts of hearing not just folks like me, but ex-NFL players talk about this guy's top five, maybe top three by the end of the season? What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's a great opportunity to go out there and prove yourself, and obviously you try to limit the distractions outside of the building, and you know, I try to focus on just what my coaches, what my teammates, and what they're saying. But, you know, it is a lot of noise outside, and you do your best to find out what's important and what's not. But it is a great opportunity that we have to go play football. I think we've got an incredible offensive line, some receivers that can make some incredible catches, run some great routes, and I think a defense that's going to play really well this year. So it's going to be a lot of fun to play for this team.
Justin Herbert, by the way, Raj, do you hear Justin Herbert here on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio? Raj is the producer, Justin, and do you hear these answers? They're perfect. They're perfect media answers. They're just long enough to give the information clipped. He doesn't go on. This is a pro's pro. Justin, what did you think when Madden came out and gave you a 93, what was it, an arm strength? I'm thinking like, dude, he's drawing comparisons to Patrick Mahomes and Dan Marino. What's with the 93? What were your thoughts?
Well, you know, you can look at it multiple ways, but I'm just thankful to be in the game. I grew up playing Madden, and just to be a part of the game and see myself, I think that's the coolest part. And, you know, I know my parents and my brothers are probably playing with me in Madden, so, you know, it's just a cool opportunity to be in the game and be able to be a part of it.
Oh, I'm sure that's true, but is that motivation? Listen, anyone who gets to the heights that you get to, I don't care how great your arm is. You have to have next-level competitiveness, drive, work ethic, the whole thing, or you don't get to this level. When you see something like that, especially you're a fan of Madden, everyone is, you grew up playing it, or is it like put a chip on your shoulders, like bulletin board material for you?
No, it really isn't, actually, and that's kind of one of those things about the noise, the distractions outside of football. And you can look at it multiple ways, and I choose to look at it the way that, you know, I'm really grateful to be a part of the game, and not too many people are in the game like that, and you know, that's something I've worked for my entire life, just to be here, and you know, to keep working hard and keep having an opportunity to play football. So I, you know, you could look at it that way, but, you know, I try to choose not to.
Talking to Justin Herbert, the Chargers, of course, quarterback, NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year, a guy who a lot of ESPN guys are talking about comparing to Patrick Mahomes and Dan Marino in terms of his talent. You're in a very tough AFC West, Justin. What do the Chargers need to do to challenge the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes?
We got to execute. We have to put together a full year of Charger football. And you know, it's unfortunate the last year the way some of the games went and losing some close games. But you have to go through that. You have to experience that to understand how to win and how to go through that. And, I think all of that adversity last year is going to help us out. And like you mentioned, the AFC West is pretty tough, and you've got some really good teams in that division. And it comes down to who's staying healthy, who's executing, and who's not giving away football games. And so that's definitely something that we've been working on.
Justin, by the way, when you say Chargers football, that's been the problem with the Chargers. For lifelong Chargers watchers, it's like, no, that's the problem is Chargers football is great until sometimes the very end. In the playoffs, deep in games, there are these mistakes. What was the culture you noticed when you got there?
The culture that I noticed is that no one gave up. And you know, when times were tough last year and adversity was striking, no one quit on us. And even when we were at our lowest of lows, guys showed up to work the next day and they gave their best effort. They showed up in the weight room. And I think that's the best part about our team is no one quit on each other. And I know, and when adversity comes this year, if it does, and whatever happens, I know that we're going to march out there with that team and they're going to do everything we can to win. And I'm grateful to be a part of this team.
Okay, I want you to get your reaction to something because we debated whether I should ask you this. Or phrase it this way, okay? When people talk about the value of players, fans know so much now about what players make, what rookie deals mean, etc. The way I phrased it on First Take today, and Raj's like, no, don't say that because it sounds like you want to trade him. I don't think that the Chargers should trade him. Let me be very clear about this. But the way I phrased it is, given the fact that you already have a year of experience, that if Trevor Lawrence pans out with all the hype, he'll have the season you just had. He hasn't done it yet. Joe Burrow got hurt. Patrick Mahomes makes all this money. You're just 1 year into your rookie deal. The way I phrased it is, I think Justin Herbert has the greatest trade value in the NFL. Now, first of all, is that a legitimate thing to say? Do you take offense to that? And what do you think of it?
I have no idea. My whole thing is just to play football. I don't know contract negotiations or anything like that. I just get paid to play football. So I'm going to show up. I'm going to be the best quarterback that I can be. And whatever happens outside of that happens. And I don't really have much control over that, if that makes sense.
Of course it does. Really, what I'm getting at is you're not offended or insulted by that, are you?
Oh, no, not at all.
Of course. See, Raj, I just want to call Raj stupid with Justin Herbert on the line. That's the main thing. Justin Herbert, you are a pleasure to watch. Good luck this upcoming season. Any closing thoughts about what Chargers fans should expect this year?
Just a passionate football team. You know, a group of guys that enjoy what they do. They're going to give their best effort. And the defense, they've got some studs on that side of the ball. And, you know, I'm really looking forward to going up against them in camp and watching what they can do this season.
Now, Justin, we have this rapport now. See how we're getting along and everything. So this won't be, this could be a thing where you come back on the show in the not too distant future, right? Am I right?
I'd love to.
There it is. The great Justin Herbert, ladies and gentlemen. Justin, thank you very much for coming on the show. Best of luck in your upcoming season.
Thank you very much.
Yep. Thanks, Justin. That dude is a baller. A baller. Raj, so dumb. Don't say that to Justin Herbert. He'll take it the wrong way. You heard it right from the horse's mouth.
I mean, everyone back there was like, oh, they were clenching their teeth a little bit. I mean, yeah. You see, he was like, I have no idea.
Yeah, because of course, because
he was saying, I have no idea why you're asking me that on national TV and radio.
Yeah. Well, no, but the point is he's not insulted by it. He just doesn't want to talk about value and contracts. My real point was it's not an insult. It's a compliment to say someone has the greatest trade value in the NFL, Raj. Four-time All-Star guard.
When they're coming on the show for the first time.
Oh, I already told you about Kemba Walker. Two-time NBA MVP and three-time champion Steph Curry has agreed to a four-year, $215 million contract extension with the Golden State Warriors, making him the first player in history to sign two $200 million-plus contracts. What does it mean And can a healthy Warriors team make the NBA Finals? Plus, your reactions to Justin Herbert just now. 888-SAY-ESPN. This is the Max Kellerman Show, coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. Coming up, Colts in trouble. Or is it an easy fix? Rogers revealing my tease one word at a time. How great is it when you get to choose your favorite movie to watch? Well, ZipRecruiter's Invite to Apply lets you pick your favorites from the best candidates. ZipRecruiter sends you qualified candidates, and you can easily invite your top choices to apply for your job. Lauren Webb, Senior Vice President of Talent Acquisition for Mindula Health, raves about ZipRecruiter's Invite to Apply. She says, quote, "I love that feature because we have a much fire higher, not a fire hollow through, that would be ridiculous, a higher follow through rate if I invite candidates, if she invites the candidates, if you invite the candidates, higher follow-through rate." Go to ZipRecruiter.com/KELLERMAN to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Kellerman.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, also on Sirius XM Channel 80. Justin Herbert joined me on the Goodyear Hotline, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear more driven. Now, the Warriors re-sign Steph Curry to $215 million, first player ever to sign two $200 million contracts. That's because Steph Curry is the greatest player in the history of the NBA at his size or under. He's the best who ever did it at 6'3" or under. And we all recognize it, really, whether or not we phrase it that way. He's undersized compared to the very greatest players ever, but what he's revolutionized the game. He's a home run hitter who totally revolutionized the game. And because you have him and Klay Thompson, who's hot, can get hotter than anyone who ever lived. He scored 26 points in a quarter one year, a couple years back, and 3-4 years back. And it was his second best quarter of the season. He scored 37 in another quarter, and he did it on, like, no dribbles. He's coming back. Draymond Green's still there. So the nucleus is still there. That's always been the core, right? Those three guys. Andrew Wiggins has slept on. Above-average two-way player offensively. He's hitting shots from the outside now, and he's playing defense. And he's a former number one overall pick. Don't compare him. Don't, like, compare him to his draft status. Just evaluate him as a player. He's good. Wiseman and Powell and Pascal, rather, and Poole. I said Powell. Pascal and Poole. And their draft picks, Kuminga and, you know, Moody. They have young, athletic guys who may not even get a lot of minutes but are fresh legs off the bench with real talent. They have emerging players who are starting to fulfill their potential and the core back. These guys can mess around and get to the conference finals. I don't think they get past the healthy Lakers team. But Denver or Phoenix or just name another Western Conference powerhouse. I wouldn't say they're better than the Warriors, at least not on paper. 888-729-3776, the Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. So retired quarterback Philip Rivers, the guy who Justin Herbert replaced in San Diego, with the Chargers anyway. I almost called them San Diego Chargers. And it's only 11 years or whatever it is now. I'm still calling them the San Diego Chargers. But, you know, Philip Rivers was the longtime quarterback there, drafted in that, you know, same class with Eli Manning and Ben Roethlisberger. Roethlisberger had a big bounce back season after an injury, but was clearly not the same, not really pushing the ball down the field. And Eli has long since retired. Philip Rivers, like Eli, was an Iron Man for years, was a great regular season quarterback, but fizzled at times in the playoffs. And he says he's staying ready and he won't close the door on a possible return. If Philip Rivers returns to the Indianapolis Colts, that's a win-win-win. It's not just a win-win Colts and Rivers. Like, if you're the Indianapolis Colts, especially if you're missing your left guard, who's the best in the business, and your left tackle, then you need a guy who knows the offense inside and out and get rid of the ball quickly, right? Well, that's Rivers. Hand it to the running back and maybe, okay, that's Rivers. A guy who wants to play for you. Obviously, that's Rivers. If you lose your quarterback heading into the season, you're the Colts, you cannot do better than Philip Rivers right now. It's like, you can't do better. And if you're Rivers and you're looking for an opportunity, yeah, you don't have that offensive line protection. That's true. And that part is not so great. But you love the coach you're playing for. You have a tremendous team around you. Can play offense and defense. And if you're Carson Wentz, I think the last thing you want is Nick Foles to show up, right? That's the last thing you need. Nick Foles to show up? No. It's win, win, win. It's a win for the Colts, win for Rivers, win for Carson Wentz. And by the way, if you're the Colts, you want Wentz or you want, sorry, if you want Foles or you want Rivers. See, the thing about Nick Foles is if you protect him, if he has a pocket to step into, he can be really good, especially under pressure. But we saw in Chicago when he's running for his life because he can't run, that ain't going to be too good. So if they're have, you know, if you're losing Quentin Nelson, you don't have your left tackle, Nick Foles ain't the guy. Philip Rivers would be the guy in that case, especially since he knows the offense. What do you think? Colts go with Rivers or Nick Foles to sub in for Wentz? Last time, you know, on the other hand, last time Nick Foles came in for Carson Wentz, they almost defended their Super Bowl title that he won, that Nick Foles is the MVP of the year before over Tom Brady. Don't forget, they went to Soldier Field and played a Bears defense a lot of people were taking to get out of the to the NFC Championship game, beat them on the road, and then went to New Orleans. And by the way, if his receiver turns his head, maybe they beat the Saints at New Orleans. That's a hell of a, you know, it's not a successful title defense, but that's a hell of a little run for Nick Foles. That was the encore, right? That was the encore to being Super Bowl MVP. Pat McAfee on the excellent Pat McAfee show was on with Mike Greenberg and said this about the expectation for Wentz's timeline.
I think if the Carson Wentz surgery didn't go as smooth, and Frank reiterated a few times that he views it as being on the earlier side of that 5 to 12 weeks. He basically alluded to it like three times in the interview. I think if there was anything that went awry with the Carson Wentz surgery, we might have that conversation with Nick Foles. But I think Frank and the team are expecting Carson to be back early in the season. Jacob Eason will be able to take the reps. Who knows how he's going to do? We also got Sam Ehlinger, and they just brought in Brett Hundley, who I know doesn't have the greatest tape on earth whenever he gets into games. But I think we have a lot of trust in Frank over here. And if that injury was a little bit longer or expectations were for it to be nearer 12 weeks as opposed to five, I think the Nick Foles stories would hold a little bit of weight. But right now, I just don't think that's the case.
Interesting. I mean, Reich was there not just with Wentz, but also with Foles. If, you know, like that same coaching staff that had success with Wentz. Let's just remember for a second. Wentz was the best player in football until he got hurt that year. Everyone's like, oh, you're a Wentz hater. No, I just had very high expectations for him based on what I saw. Like, what if Justin Herbert, who I had on earlier, suddenly was no good? I'd be shocked, but I would have to say it. I'd be rooting for him, but I'd have to say it. And Wentz was amazing that year, got hurt, and I thought they were dead in the water. Foles won the Super Bowl. And then the next year, here was the problem. The next year, they were flat with Wentz. They were like a 500 team, and they were not going to make the playoffs. And then he got hurt again, and Foles took over. They caught fire, made the playoffs, and as I mentioned, beat the Bears at Soldier Field and gave the Saints a real run for their money in New Orleans. You know, so that was all with Frank Reich on that staff. 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. Who do you want for the Colts quarterback? What do you think of Justin Herbert? How do you like the Lakers' moves? I'm actually going to take some phone calls. Not at the moment, but coming up. I can't take it right now. Don't be ridiculous. I have to hear my own voice a little bit more, and then I'll take some phone calls. Are the Bulls and the Heat contenders this season? I'm going to tell you about this. These guys made serious moves, almost perfect moves. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $700 on average. Call or click today and find out if they can save you hundreds on your car insurance. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, also on SiriusXM Channel 80, 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. After big free agent signings, are the Bulls and Heat Eastern Conference contenders? That'd be a big step up for the Bulls. The Heat have knocked on that door recently, but let's go over the signings. Bulls finalizing a sign-and-trade for guard, all-star guard, DeMar DeRozan has been an all-star in the past, will sign a three-year $85 million deal, and the Spurs will acquire Thaddeus Young, Al-Farouq Aminu, and a future first-round pick, a source told Adrian Wojnarowski. The future first-rounder will convey no sooner than 2025, the source said, and the Bulls will also send a 2022 second-round pick via the Lakers, as well as the Bulls' own 2025 second-round pick. Okay, got all that? The main thing is this. The Bulls are getting DeMar DeRozan. Now, in the reason DeMar DeRozan's not a bigger star is because he doesn't shoot the three. He shoots the mid-range. And in this day and age, that is, you know, not as good as shooting the three. It probably never was. But, you know, it's interesting. I think about Moneyball with, you know, the Oakland A's and Billy Beane. And everyone misinterpreted that in baseball to mean, oh, it's on-base percentage. We should be looking for on-base percentage. No, dummies, no. It's not on-base percentage. You're looking for an undervalued commodities. What is mispriced by the marketplace? What's undervalued? You can get that. After everyone caught on-base percentage, it ceased to be undervalued anymore. Billy Beane went on to defense because that became undervalued. So a mid-range game was overvalued at one point, and three-point shooting was undervalued. That has course-corrected to the point where, especially in the playoffs, you notice how the mid-range game was killing them in these last playoffs? It's because they give it to you. They'll give you the mid-range. If you're not in the paint or at the three-point line, then the feeling is, all right, fine, if he hits it, it's 2 points instead of three. The reason the three-point shot has been was at first undervalued was because if it's going to be guarded less than a mid-range and you get an extra point for it, it's not that much harder to hit than a mid-range, right? But if they're just going to give you a mid-range, like they're not going to defend it at all, at a certain point, you got to take it. How did Chris Paul do with that mid-range in these playoffs? So you add that to a Bulls team with Zach LaVine, who can jump out the gym and rain threes from the outside, got offensive skills, an underrated offensive, like borderline superstar offensively. And Vucevic? Who's better than Vucevic in the East at the five? How many guys in the East? You want to say Giannis? You want to count Giannis as a five? You want to say Bam? Maybe is Bam better than Vucevic? Vucevic is good. He's a top 3-4 center in the East. But by the way, that's not all they did. They also added Lonzo Ball. Who does Lonzo Ball not help? Lonzo Ball is an excellent defender, rebounder, playmaker, next level court vision and passing and basketball IQ. LeBron loved playing with him in LA. Remember, the Lakers fell apart not just when LeBron got hurt, when Lonzo got hurt. And now he's bombing threes. He's taking a bunch of them and hitting a bunch of them. So now you put Lonzo, who does he not? And by the way, Kobe White's another guy. Like when they drafted him, it's like that guy kind of works next to anybody in a modern NBA backcourt. Well, how does he not work next to guys? He's off the bench. You got Lonzo and DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine and Vucevic. This is going to be an offensive juggernaut. The Bulls are going to be an offensive juggernaut. They're going to score a gang of points every game. They will make the playoffs, and I think they'll advance. I think they'll win a playoff series. Lonzo got a four-year, $85 million sign-and-trade agreement with the Pelicans. That's how he wound up on the Bulls. By the way, the Bulls also nabbed Alex Caruso, 4 years, $37 million. But then the Heat, Jimmy Butler's Heat and Bam Adebayo's Heat, Tyler Hero's Heat, like they already got some guys. I love it when a team brings in just the right fit kind of players. Like you need a one and a four, and you need them to do the, like, can they score? Can they play make? Can they defend at the one, right? And at the four, can they defend? You'd like them to be able to shoot, play hard-nosed defense. Like they got how are you going to do much better than Kyle Lowry and PJ Tucker? I love the fit. Heat got a lot better. Bulls got a lot better. The East got a lot better. Knicks got better. And these are not the, we're going to challenge, you know, we're going to be in the Eastern Conference Finals. The Eastern Conference Finals is a healthy Nets team, and you're really talking about the Bucks. But although the Heat can make a, but the Bulls have just jumped way up. Yes, Raj.
Man, the East got so good, Max. Would you even, if you did a power ranking today, you know, Max's power ranking, yeah, top 10 teams in the East, you wouldn't even have my Celtics in there, man.
Not at the moment, but like the thing about the Celtics is when you got, and you know, Brown got hurt, but when you got Tatum, you can get healthy in a heartbeat. Like you can get healthy, meaning like you can get your record could get healthy in a heartbeat. Like Tatum is a baller. But no, I hear you. I don't.
Top five teams, top five in the East, man. Celtics ain't there.
Well, look, the Celtics and the Raptors have been fixtures there in recent years. And those are not two teams that I'm thinking about.
Mm-mm.
But the Bulls and the Heat are. 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. So who made the best move in free agency? And by the way, the Knicks, as much as I'm like, well, the Knicks are capped and all this, Kemba Walker does make them better. Like, when you think about that backcourt, Kemba and Derrick Rose and Emmanuel Quickley and R.J. Barrett, those are a lot of playmaking, you know, one, two, three types, right? A lot of, like, that's a bunch of guys they can throw at you. Now, the difference is I don't see a Zach LaVine or a DeMar DeRozan on that team. I don't, and by the way, even Lonzo Ball, who's as good as Lonzo Ball on that team? Derrick Rose, maybe, but he's coming off the bench. Maybe Kemba, if he's healthy, but Kemba's defensively challenged because of his size. Lonzo's a really good defender. So they don't have guys with the same kind of upside. And Julius Randle is a powerhouse in the regular season, but in the playoffs, there are issues there. You know, he's going left all the time, and his three-point shot was the real difference in his game, right? He was always a walking double-double with the Lakers since he was a kid, but his three-ball was really the difference in his game. He hit a bunch of those. But the Knicks are kind of limited on the upside with those guys. The Bulls and the Heat, when you look at those guys, you go, it's possible if things break their way, they get to a conference championship. I don't see that for the Knicks. What do you see? 888-SAY-ESPN, that's 729-3776. This is the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio. I promise that I'll get to your calls in the next hour. Max Kellerman Show.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.